Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This is TWiT Special number 333, recorded September 12th, 2018. Apple's September 2018 event. This TWiT special is brought to you by LastPass. Secure every password-protected entry point to your business. Join over 33,000 businesses and start managing and securing your company's passwords today. Learn more at lastpass.com/TWiT. Welcome to TWiT Live Specials. It is Apple Day, more specifically, I think iPhone Day, perhaps a little AirPod Day, maybe a little Apple Watch Day, but we'll get to all the speculation before we hear the stuff that we've already heard. I want to thank our sponsor, LastPass. LastPass is getting ready for iOS 12 that we hope to hear about. I've been using the beta of iOS 12 beta of LastPass on my iPhone and my iPad, and it's been great. If you have ever struggled with passwords before, you got to try it. It is so much easier. They already take care of remembering passwords for you, but now they have autofill in their mobile sites, in Safari, and then in Chrome. Just fewer taps. Basically, they're promising fewer taps, and I can tell you from having used it that there are fewer taps. So, I am going to talk a little bit more about LastPass a little bit later on. I'm just going to do my best not to interrupt anything important. Learn more at lastpass.com/TWiT. But let's get right now to the commentary. And I'm joined by Alex Lindsay, all the way from D.C. Alex Lindsay,
hey,
host of Mac. Good. Host of MacBreak Weekly, of course, Pixel Core. My old friend, we've known each other for a long time now. You used to be on the Screensavers and...
Many, many moons ago. Yeah, that was a long time ago. Yeah.
Yes.
I realized it went back to like 2002, I think. It was. I thought it was like, oh, 2004, 2005, but it was actually much earlier than
yeah,
that.
So yeah, because I was gone from the Screensavers by then. I was...
Right.
I had moved on. So yeah, 2002, I think. That's been a long time. So... Yep. I want to start off by saying I don't want to end this after we're done and say, oh, we thought they were going to announce something revolutionary and they didn't, because I believe they're not going to announce anything revolutionary. What do you think?
I think they're going to announce the car. I'm just kidding. I can hope. I can dream. No, I mean, I think they're going to see incremental stuff. I think there'll probably be a handful of technologies that are pretty cool that they'll add. I think that, you know, typically what we get to see is a camera upgrade that's going to be great. I think the things that I'm looking for are, you know, does the one of the things is like, is the iPad going to go to USB-C? I think that could be a really interesting thing to have happen. You know, what kind of you know, obviously we'll see different screen sizes. We don't expect the iPhone to go to USB-C, although that would be really cool
for you.
It's more
maybe
likely to happen. Yeah, I mean, no, Robert, well, I mean, I have a lot of Lightning stuff, but I mean, I think that the, you know, what we're talking about is a lot more data, you know, access, speed. It really, USB-C connection does more than open up the ability to connect, but it also means that we're able to, a whole new layer of apps that can deal with much higher data rates and a much more direct connection could be possible. So those are the things that could be kind of interesting. Wow, what are they doing there? They're opening up the...
Yeah, it looks like we're in the Steve Jobs Theater in the Round. Everyone has their laptops out and tweeting up a storm, I'm sure.
And it's gorgeous.
It is really nice.
Oh, here we go.
Mission Impossible type theme.
We sent something funny. Someone run into one of the windows.
For those of you just listening, someone is running very quickly with a silver suitcase.
Hey Siri, what's the fastest way to Steve Jobs Theater?
Take a right. Then in a quarter mile, take...
And she is wearing AirPods, so she has no. She is only holding her important suitcase, not and running through water with her AirPods, which never stay in my ears if I'm running like that.
Kevin, shouldn't you be at the event?
Mm-hmm.
That's a serious upgrade.
Kevin just teleported. Is he listening? She reached her move goal on her Apple Watch. She was not that thrilled.
After running through the water and through the grass, she's remarkably clean.
Right, and she didn't set a workout on her, she didn't tell her that she was biking, which you would have to do in order to get all those points. He just opened the door with his watch. Her card did not work.
Is that it? Tim. It's here. The clicker.
And that is a DSAN perfect cue. Clicker, otherwise known as the pickle.
The clicker.
Is that how you get yours brought to you for events as well, Alex?
That is. Everybody uses the same clicker. We have 10 of those. I'm so glad that they could have just called us. We could have brought one.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. Thank you. Welcome to the Steve Jobs Theater. Wasn't that a fun video? Things certainly do get hectic around here leading up to days like this. But they're also magical days because we get to share our latest innovations with you. As you know, Apple was founded to make the computer more personal. Of course, first with the Apple II, and then later with the Mac. Over the years, we've taken this mission further than anyone could have imagined. We've created several categories of technology that have had a profound impact on people's lives, from the iPod to the iPhone to the iPad to the Apple Watch. And we've completely reinvented the retail experience, making it more personal and engaging. Our stores have become part of the community. They're open, beautiful, and inspiring places to learn and gather. Like this gorgeous store, the Apple Piazza Liberty, that's revitalizing a plaza in the heart of Milan. The store opened to thousands of customers who came to experience a weekend full of events. And we know it's going to be popular for years to come. In fact, our Apple stores are now welcoming over 500 million visitors per year. Thank you.
I can't figure out what makes it so popular, but they're all busy.
It's a nice place to be.
And get the personal help that they need to get the most out of them.
Although I never go for personal help because you never know how long it's going to take.
At the center of everything that we do. That's why iOS is not just the world's most advanced mobile operating system. It's the most personal. We're about to hit a major...
That's a really nice LED wall.
We are about to ship our 2 billionth iOS device.
That usually doesn't work. LED walls behind you. This is usually a horrible idea.
This is astonishing. iOS has changed the way we live, from the way we learn to the way we work, to how we're entertained, to how we shop, order our food, get our transportation, and stay in touch with one another. And of course, how we capture the moments of our lives and share them with those we love. It's amazing how our mission started with personalizing technology for the desktop to now seeing the many ways that we've made it more personal in so many aspects of our lives. So it's only fitting that today we're going to tell you about two of our most personal products, the ones that are with you everywhere that you go, and how we're going to take them even further. So let's get started with the Apple Watch.
So I guess that means he's not going to talk about Macs or iPads.
Let's move on.
We're thrilled by how much the Apple Watch has grown in such a short period of time. I mean, to think this category didn't even exist just a few years ago. And now Apple Watch is being embraced by so many people around the world. Apple Watch is not only the number one smartwatch in the world, it's the number one watch, period.
But it really isn't their number one product, not nearly. Not
Apple
even close.
Watch has redefined right. what a watch it's can a, do it's, for you.
It's the it is amazing, though. You don't see very many things other than the Apple Watch at this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see Android here and there, and you see Fitbits here and there, but usually when you see someone there, at least Apple Watch maybe it's just because of who I hang out with, but I most people on Apple use an Apple Watch. It's just the easiest way to manage it.
Stay connected, to be more active, and to live a healthier day. To tell you how we're going to take Apple Watch to the next level, I'd like to invite Jeff up. Jeff?
I'm going to make a guess that it's not actual teleporting.
Oh, I don't know. That would be, if they put that into the watch, it would be amazing.
Wow, thank you. Thank you. We're humbled and inspired by how Apple Watch has become such an important and even essential part of people's lives. And it's becoming more indispensable in three areas in particular. It keeps you connected to the people and information you care about with phone calls and messages and notifications right on your wrist. And cellular lets you stay connected with just your Apple Watch, even if you leave your phone behind. Fitness is at the core of Apple Watch, encouraging you to be more active by closing your rings and tracking your workouts. And now you have built-in GPS, it's swim-proof, and it even automatically detects when you're working out.
And except if you're using a recumbent bike, just in case you're wondering. It just says your heart rate's really high and you're seated. I don't understand.
Apple Watch put heart rate monitoring right on the wrist. And while you could always check your heart rate, Apple Watch now looks in the background and notifies you if it detects an elevated heart rate. This may seem like a simple change, but we see this in our customer letters. It's a profound change. Apple Watch has become an intelligent guardian for your health.
Because usually you're either having a heart attack or your football team is losing.
Have you ever gotten an alert?
Oh, yeah. Today, when Steeler-Patriot game.
Living an active life and managing your health, we're taking Apple Watch to the next level. And now I'd like to introduce the next generation of Apple Watch.
Bigger screen.
With customizable time faces. Oh, no.
So the rumor is it'll be a bigger screen, and the rumor that
42 and 44 is what we're waiting for, right? 42 millimeter, 44 millimeter. Probably, I don't know very many. Do you have a 38?
No, I don't. I think I might go back to it, but.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, because I upgraded because the battery life on the Series 0 was so bad, and so I wanted a bigger one. But I could go back to the smaller one.
I've barely seen a 38 in the wild.
Maybe also the people you hang out with.
I know. Everybody's got 42. Everybody's, yeah. Ooh, so look at that.
Looks like so more looks rounded just, edges.
Looks like exactly what we saw on the rumor sites.
Yeah. So the watch.
No complication.
Is the watch itself going to be bigger or just the screen? Like, will my old bands still fit?
Yeah. The rumor is the bands will still fit. We'll see.
Apple Watch Series 4, everything about it has been redesigned and re-engineered. Every detail has been thoughtfully considered.
But this is the first revamp at all.
Just beautiful.
Since 2014 when it was announced.
It all starts with a stunning new display. We push the screens right to the edges, and we've curved the corners to perfectly match the shape of the watch. And the screens are significantly larger. In fact, they're over 30% larger. Thank you. And we've done this with minimal changes to the case size. Series 4 is thinner, so there's actually less total volume than in Series 3. And to take advantage of the new displays, every part of the UI has been redesigned. You'll see more in maps and photo and calendar. And we've created new complications. They look beautiful, and they show even more information and detail. And we've also designed a brand new watch face with up to 8 complications that really brings them to life. And you can customize it with the things you care about.
Oh, that's nice.
Now, you can add loved ones to your watch face and simply tap to connect with them.
Or design your own.
Or if you're traveling, you can customize a watch face to track the different time zones.
It seems like the round might be that they're really going towards a round display mm-hmm. with corner complications.
Right. For those people who still know how to tell time without a digital clock.
We also redesigned the modular face with more detailed and graphical information from apps like stocks and heart rate and activity, and even apps from our developers. So now you can track the live score of your favorite team with MLB at bat. Your boarding information will appear right on your watch face with the Qantas app, or you can glance at nutritional intake with the LifeSum app. Next, the Breathe app has been a popular way for people to take a moment to be more mindful. And now the app is available as a watch face. So with a simple raise of the wrist, the watch face will guide you through a deep breath. And there are 3 beautiful variations to choose from.
It's always good to remember to breathe.
It's a little hypnotic. Kind of wonderful.
If you don't, you'll die.
In addition, we've created some dynamic new watch faces that uniquely interact with the shape of the display. With the fire face, see how the flames subtly illuminate the ticks of the dial? And the new water face, notice how the bubbles splash off the edges.
We know how to make a square box in front of a camera. That's great.
It's amazing with the rich, vibrant colors.
It's pretty beautiful.
It's not technology.
Developing it was technology.
Series 4.
Not much. Sorry.
Alex, are you channeling
I'm impressed by
Andy?
A lot of things, but I'm just saying. No, I'm just saying it's not that impressive.
The Digital Crown's been completely re-engineered, and it now includes haptic feedback, giving you a more responsive and mechanical feel. It's especially great in apps like podcasts and calendar, where you precisely flip through each item. The speaker has also been completely redesigned. It's 50% louder, which is great for phone calls and walkie-talkie or Siri requests. You ask Siri something on Series 4, and she comes back with volume. You just won't believe the sound you get out of such a small device. We moved the microphone on Series 4 to the opposite side, as far away from the speaker as possible, to reduce echo, making phone calls even clearer. And the back of Series 4 is absolutely beautiful. It's made entirely of black ceramic and sapphire crystal.
Like Steve Jobs used to say, you know it's there.
It's highly functional. Yeah. Radio waves can now pass through both the front and the back, resulting in improved cellular reception. Hmm. So this, along with a new speaker and microphone, makes Series 4 even better for staying connected.
Do you have a cellular watch, Alex?
I do, but I never use the cellular
watch. Me neither. I have it, but I never use it either. I don't even know if I'm paying for it anymore.
Series 4 me neither. Just as impressive on the inside. The brain of Series 4.
I mean, more likely to use it for my kids. I'd rather just give them that instead of a phone.
Mm-hmm. And it allows us to build many capabilities in such a small device. S4 contains a powerful new dual-core 64-bit processor and a new GPU, both custom designed by our Apple Silicon team to deliver up to 2 times faster performance.
Your second hand will go even, well, it'll go the same speed.
On Apple Watch, the accelerometer and gyroscope, they power important experiences like all-day activity tracking or even identifying your swim stroke. Well, Series 4 has a next-generation accelerometer and gyroscope with twice the dynamic range, measuring up to 32 G-forces, and can sample motion data 8 times faster.
If you swing your arm really, really hard, it's going to be able to capture all of that data.
But that's okay, because we do, and it's allowed us to do something new.
Oh.
One of the leading causes of injuries worldwide is falls. So whether you slip off a stepladder or you trip on a curb, a hard fall can be serious, and it can be difficult to get immediate help. Well, now, Apple Watch Series 4 can detect a fall.
It needs to pre-detect the fall, so it just constantly goes, watch.
It's interesting. Identifying a fall may sound like a straightforward problem, but it requires a tremendous amount of data and analysis. We conducted studies with thousands of people over a long period of time, and we captured data on real-world falls, and we learned something. We learned that with falls, there's this repeatable motion pattern that happens. For example, when you trip, your body will naturally pitch forward and your arms
testing.
Will go out involuntarily
yeah.
to brace yourself. However, if you slip, there's a natural
wonder if they ordered, had stunt guys do it, or they just found random people and pushed them over.
I don't know.
Series 4 is
I hope it's the random people thing.
They pull the rug out from under you.
Accelerometer and gyroscope. The watch analyzes wrist trajectory and impact acceleration to determine when a fall occurs.
This and fall detection is going to be the thing that everyone makes fun of for the next 4 days.
I know.
And from that alert, you can initiate an emergency call. However, if the watch senses you are mobile for 1 minute, it will start the call automatically.
What happens if
and
you fall to sleep?
It also sends a message with your locations to your emergency contacts using the SOS feature that is already built into Apple Watch. Fall detection is a feature that we hope you never need, but it's really nice to know it's there. The optical heart sensor has been essential to Apple Watch from the beginning, and it allows us to calculate the calorie burn during your workouts. It allows us to determine your resting heart rate, and it's also powers the high heart rate notification that's helped Apple Watch become an intelligent guardian for your health. We wanted to do even more in this space, and so we're announcing 3 new heart features. First, a notification if your heart rate appears to be too low. Now, generally, a low heart rate is thought to be a good thing, but if it's too low, it might mean that your heart's not pumping enough blood to the body, and that could be a sign of something serious, and now Apple Watch can detect it. The second feature is related to heart rhythm, and this is a big deal. Apple Watch can now screen your heart rhythm in the background, and it sends you a notification if it detects an irregular rhythm that appears to be atrial fibrillation. Now, it won't catch every instance of AFib, but we believe this is going to help a lot of people who didn't otherwise know they had an issue.
I thought that was what it was already doing.
I don't think so. There's external devices, which stock just went way down fast.
The third feature is made possible by a new electrical heart sensor on Series 4. We've added electrodes into the back sapphire crystal and the digital crown, allowing you to take an electrocardiogram.
Oh. So is this the thing that they were waiting for FDA approval from the other companies?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's a big deal.
We would have heard if they had it, right?
Yeah, and there's a lot of companies that
known as an ECG, and this is the
there's some startups that are
ECG
just got crushed.
Offered over the counter directly to consumers.
Yeah, that would have gone through a lot of FDA approval.
An ECG measures the electrical activity of the heartbeat, and it's used by physicians to help diagnose certain heart diseases and other conditions. And so now you can take an ECG anytime, anywhere, right from your wrist. You just open the app, and you put your finger on the digital crown. To show you how this works, let's take a closer look. The built-in electrodes in the back crystal and the digital crown, they detect electrical impulses from the heartbeat. They route them to the S4 chip, which converts them to signal for our algorithms. The entire process takes just 30 seconds, and at the completion of the ECG recording, you will receive a heart rhythm classification. If your heart is beating in a normal rhythm, the app will classify the measurement as sinus rhythm, and the app will also classify atrial fibrillation. All ECG recordings, their classifications, the noted symptoms, they're all stored right in the health app in a PDF you can share with your doctor. So now your doctor has a detailed picture of your heart rhythm, similar to a lead one ECG that is usually only obtained in a clinic. And to give you his thoughts on this, I'd like to invite to the stage the president of the American Heart Association and also a practicing cardiologist, Dr. Ivor Benjamin.
So AliveCor was the one that they that had FDA approval, right? Was started by the guy from Google.
Yep. AliveCor with CardioMobile, and that's going to be a difficult one for them now.
Potential of technology, and applaud Apple's innovation and commitment to health. Capturing meaningful data about a person's heart in real time is changing the way we practice medicine. In my experience, people often report symptoms that are absent during their medical visits. That is why information is vital. Information about a person's daily lifestyle choices and their specific health data.
There's a growing segment of people that could buy the watch just for this feature. I think that's why it's important. It's also why privacy is so important for Apple.
Mm-hmm. ECG is game-changing, especially when evaluating atrial fibrillation and the regular and often rapid heart rate that can increase a person's risk of stroke, heart failure, and other health-related complications. At the American Heart Association, we are committed to educate and empower people to be proactive in all areas of their health and general well-being. The American Heart Association is a relentless force for a world of longer, healthier lives. Products that seek to provide deeper health insights, like the Apple Watch Series 4, offer great potential in getting us there. Thank you.
Back to you, Ben. So that's the getting the right person in front of there to make sure that you get that it's really important and it's real and it's not just a technology. It's like, someone who's really heading that up, I think, is the reason for that little presentation.
Thank you, Dr. Benjamin. It's great to have the support of the American Heart Association. And I'm also pleased to say we've received clearance from the FDA.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that was not leaked by anyone that I knew of.
Well, but a lot of people have been talking about how much time Apple has been spending at the FDA. So I think that they weren't sure where that was, but this has been for years. Apple has been working with them on specific bits of this process. And so it's interesting.
Has also received FDA clearance. Both of these features will be available to U.S. customers later this year, and we're working hard to bring them to customers around the world.
But I can see a lot of doctors for a lot of specific types of patients saying use app
when you open
watches.
The app, this is what you see on the watch face. It's really It's really beautiful. People in general don't like things that are medical. This kind of makes you want to take an ECG. It's amazing to think that the same watch you wear every day to make phone calls and respond to messages, track your activity, like even run a marathon, can now take an ECG.
I'm going to be taking ECGs all day long. What could possibly go wrong?
Apple Watch Series 4.
Not that I'm a hypochondriac or anything. Gotta check my heart again.
Best fitness companion and the most convenient way to stay connected. And with all these amazing features, of course, your data is still protected. At Apple, we believe your personal information belongs to you. You should decide who you share it with and who gets to see it, period.
I think we may see privacy come up just a couple of times in this event.
Yeah.
All your health and fitness data, there it's encrypted on device and in the cloud. So Apple Watch Series 4, larger display, brand new UI, digital crown with haptics, up to 2 times faster performance, a louder speaker, fall detection.
How much do you think it's going to cost?
And an industry first built-in electrical heart sensor.
I think it's going to stay in the same price range that it is before.
Capable of taking an ECG.
And the only question is whether the tariffs have actually adjusted for that yet.
And I probably missed some things. We also have the most advanced wearable operating system, Watch OS 5. So with all of these features and a slimmer design, you're probably wondering about battery life. Well, I'm pleased to tell you that Series 4 has the same 18-hour all-day battery life that our customers enjoy on Apple Watch.
I frequently wear mine now for a couple of days before I have to use
it. And we've increased the outdoor workout time to 6 hours, so you can have full GPS tracking, which is perfect for those marathons or long bike rides. And of course, Apple Watch has been designed and manufactured in an environmentally friendly way. We've created a video about Series 4, and I'd like to show that to you now.
Apple Watch Series 4 is more than an evolution. It represents a fundamental redesign and re-engineering of Apple Watch. While retaining the original iconic design, we've developed and refined the form, also managing to make it thinner. The new display is now over 30% larger and is seamlessly integrated into the product. The interface has been redesigned for our new display, providing more information.
I think the only issue with this video is they're just repeating everything that they just told us. Like, it's not, this is kind of a waste of time. I mean, I get that they spent a lot of time on this, but it's not really new.
Right. It's served people who haven't, aren't watching this, but they can watch this, you know,
already one of the most
can watch the video later. So I'll take this time to remind you that this live special, this TWiT live special, is brought to you by LastPass. You can sync all your information across devices with LastPass, making it easier for you to not have to remember passwords, not have to think about passwords. They're everywhere and they get filled in and they're strong and you didn't create them and you don't have to remember them no matter what device you're using. I've been using the beta of iOS 12 beta of LastPass on my iPhone and my iPad, and it's been great. They already take care of remembering passwords for you, but now they have autofill in their mobile sites, in Safari, and then in Chrome, just fewer taps. Basically, they're promising fewer taps, and I can tell you from having used it that there are fewer taps. LastPass lets you work remotely more easily, lets you travel for business or pleasure and still have your passwords, so you can have them on your watch or your phone. And iOS 12 is really going to change this, like I said before. It's easy onboarding and password autofill. LastPass makes it easy for businesses to take control of passwords and reduce the threat of a breach. So for personal use, this is really important. For business use, This is critical. LastPass Enterprise makes password sharing convenient for employees while keeping access to corporate data secure. Logging into mobile apps has never been easy. Remembering passwords is hard enough without trying to type them in on that tiny keyboard. LastPass already takes care of remembering your passwords for you. And with the release of iOS 12, LastPass will automatically fill in your username and passwords in iOS apps. Try the Enterprise. It makes password sharing convenient for employees while keeping access to corporate data secure, so your employees can share the passwords that they need to share and not share the ones that they don't need to share. And you can reduce their sharing at any time, take it away or add sharing. It's super easy. LastPass also offers LastPass Premium for personal use, LastPass Families for the entire family, and LastPass Teams for teams of 50 or fewer. More than 13 million people trust LastPass, the number one most preferred password manager. Learn more at LastPass.com/twit, LastPass.com/twit. And we thank LastPass for their support of this Twit Live special. Let's get back to it.
In space gray, and the stainless collection is absolutely beautiful with polished and space black. We shipped stainless before, but there's something about Series 4 that is even more gorgeous. And there's a brand new finish, gold stainless, which is it was wonderful paired with this Milanese loop. All band colors and band styles fit any generation of Apple Watch. So all those Series 4 customers, all the bands that you already own will work just fine on the Series 4.
Well, there's your answer there. And I'm sure Renee is very relieved because he's the one that spent way more than his watch on his bands.
It's been optimized for Series 4 with full screen watch faces.
Do you get any special bands?
That look great.
And really cool. I got the leather band, not the fancy leather band, just the regular leather band for the first one. But I don't. But then it looked bad when I upgraded to the bigger watch. So no, I just use the. I think I have the same band that you do, just the regular floral elastomer. Navy.
This fall with some bold new looks. There's these gorgeous.
The first one I got a lot of different bands, and then I gave up.
And they changed.
I've gotten third party cheap bands.
And they look really wonderful paired with the new Dublator bands.
I have a fake Dublator, and it never holds my watch close enough so that it doesn't record my heart rate, unfortunately.
Right.
Apple Watch Series 4 with GPS starts at $399. Series 4 with cellular starts at $499. And we're keeping Series 3 in the line at more affordable prices, starting at just $279.
That's a really good price for this Series 3.
Yeah.
Series 4 GPS will be available in 26 markets at launch. Series 4 with cellular will start in 16 markets with 34 carriers. That's more than twice the number of carriers we had last year. You can order Series 4 starting Friday, and it will be available the following Friday, September 21st. Series 3 at the new prices is available right after the show. And watchOS 5, the most advanced wearable operating system, will be available on September 17th. That's Apple Watch. And now back to Tim.
So is the defibrillator only available in the U.S.? Or the, not the defibrillator, the ECG. What are the defibrillators? I just invented the next Apple feature. Really, you heard it first.
Defining what a watch can do for you.
I'm not sure.
Now, we made a video about how the Apple
FDA
Watch...
FDA approval. That's federal.
Right. Right.
...to be more active. And I'd love to run it for you now. I think
my
you're
guess
going
is
to
the...
get a kick out of it.
All right. Let's see.
You put your right arm in. You put your right arm out. You put your right arm in. Nobody does ballet with AirPods.
You do the honky pokey and you turn yourself around.
a lot of sports.
We really love what the Apple Watch is doing to get the world moving. So that is Apple Watch. Now let's talk about iPhone. iPhone 10 defined the future of the smartphone. It introduced new technologies that is at the cutting edge of what's possible. With a stunning all-screen design and intuitive gestures, with technologies like the TrueDepth camera system and Face ID, where your phone knows what you look like and your face becomes your password. iPhone 10 has an incredible camera system that uses intelligent software to make the most stunning portraits. This was only previously possible with pro-level equipment. And there are so many other innovative technologies that are built right in. And of course, all of them are powered by the world's most advanced mobile operating system, iOS. iPhone 10 has changed the industry. And along the way, it became the number one smartphone in the world. But what's most important to us is that it's the most loved smartphone with an amazing 98% customer satisfaction.
What does number one smartphone mean?
Now, most today,
right,
we're going to take iPhone 10 to the next level. I'm excited to show you what
it's
is
better than
by
we're
going to
release the same one.
The most advanced iPhone we have ever created.
How could it not be? I mean, it's, like, why would you be having this announcement if it wasn't the most advanced iPhone that you created? There's the image that we saw earlier last week.
The XS Max.
Is iPhone XS. It is the most advanced XS. iPhone we've ever created. And I'd like to invite Phil up to tell you all about it. Phil?
I'm going to call it XS.
Good morning, everyone.
Yeah, it's
I am so excited to tell you all about iPhone XS. It is made of a surgical-grade stainless steel. It has a gorgeous new gold finish on the front and on the glass. It is the most beautiful iPhone we have ever made. The screen goes top to bottom, edge to edge, rounded into the corners. And it's covered on the front and the back with a new formulation of glass that is the most durable glass ever in a smartphone. iPhone XS comes in three finishes, gold, silver, and space gray. They are beautiful. And they're protected from dust and liquids to an even higher level now, IP68. That means it's protected to 2 meters for up to 30 minutes. So if you happen to be hanging by the pool, drop your phone in the water, don't worry. Dive down, grab it, rinse it, let it dry. You'll be fine.
I'm definitely taking more pictures.
And the team
of the kids
tested in many different liquids, in chlorinated
many
water, salt
liquids.
Water, orange juice, tea, wine, even beer. And this is some of the most fun, intense testing we get to do at Apple. Well, the screen on iPhone XS is a Super Retina display, the best we've made yet. It's an OLED Super display, 5.8 inches on the diagonal. It's 2.7 million pixels, 458 pixels per inch, the highest quality display on an iOS device. Now let's put it side by side with our plus-size phone, an iPhone 8 Plus. And as you can see, it's as big a display as the plus-size phone, but in a smaller design. And so many customers love that about that. Big display, easy, comfortable to hold in your hand. And it looks incredible. Watching movies on it, the latest HDR movies like Lego Batman, using the latest formats, Dolby Vision HDR 10. Your photos look stunning on iPhone XS. You shoot them with beautiful wide color, and they display better than ever on the new Super Retina display because it has a 60% greater dynamic range for colors in your photos than the iPhone X's display. It is gorgeous. Well, the iPhone XS is not just one, but two sizes of display. The 5.8-inch and a new 6.5-inch Super Retina display.
Super Retina.
This is the biggest display ever on
iPhone. Where were you going to go?
It is
the only place to go.
Display as well. 3.3 million pixels, 458 pixels per inch again. Now, a lot of our customers have loved the plus-size iPhones, so let's put that side by side. You can see it's about the same size phone with a much larger display. We think there are a lot of customers who are going to love this larger display. Now, the 5.8-inch, we already said, was as big as a plus-size display. So what do you call a phone that's bigger than plus size? Well, we call it the iPhone XS Max.
XS Max.
And the Max is an incredible experience. Watching videos on it is cinematic. Looking at your photos bigger than ever is incredible. Surfing the web, looking at flyovers and map. Even when you're using some of the built-in apps, the team's taken advantage of the wider display when it's in horizontal mode to give you a split view like here in Contacts. It's awesome for editing videos in iMovie, for creating songs with GarageBand, even playing immersive killer games. It's so much fun on the iPhone XS Max. So there are two Super Retina displays now, 5.8-inch, 6.5-inch, both OLED displays, both a million-to-one contrast ratio. They're HDR displays. They're fast, 120 hertz, touch-sensitive layer. That's how it gets its smooth scrolling, really fast typing and gaming response. They both have 3D touch for pressure sensitivity. They have tap-to-wake. They have incredible color management. They're true-tone displays, so the paper white looks just right in all the different lighting that you use it. And they have wide color. These are amazing displays. And we've matched them to incredible sound systems as well. Stereo sound, better than in any iPhone to date. Now, with the XS, you get a wider stereo field. The team has matched powerful speakers with great software to deliver an even richer sound experience. So watching movies sounds incredible. And playing games, like Alto Odyssey, which previously told you to put on headphones, now you just
want to
listen through the speakers because of that beautiful, wide stereo sound.
I almost always have my headphones in.
Of course,
I'm just like,
listening to music and watching music videos like
Personal
Space Fighters,
yeah,
sounds better than ever. All right, let's talk about Face ID. Face ID is a huge step forward in biometric protection for all of our personal data on our devices, and customers love it. It is powered by our TrueDepth camera system. And there's so much technology in that little space right there. An infrared camera, flood illuminator, proximity sensor, ambient light sensor, dot projector, front camera, speaker, and microphone. All working together to give protection to the data on our devices. And they're designed with multiple neural networks, so it's secure and seamless in the iPhone experience. With iPhone XS, you just pick up your iPhone, look at it, it recognizes your face, and unlocks your notifications and information. And it does it faster than ever before, because the XS now has faster algorithms and runs on a faster version of the secure enclave, so it's gotten even better. Face ID works remarkably well.
So far, we're seeing a lot of incremental changes.
Say it is the most secure facial authentication ever in a smartphone.
Are you pro Face ID or pro Touch ID, Alex?
I really prefer Touch.
Face ID,
what I'm really pro is both. I'd love to have both on there and be able to turn them on if I wanted to be super secure.
It's so hard to make every generation of the A series chip better than any in ever in a smartphone. And this year is no exception. What the team has done is truly, truly breakthrough. It's called the A12 Bionic.
I think my problem is that I have a really long password, so anytime it doesn't identify me, like first thing in the morning, it's a thing.
That's a huge breakthrough. Yes.
There's our first nanometer.
The Bionic is packed with 6.9 billion transistors. And what the team has done with all that is remarkable. So let's go through some of the things in this chip. We're going to talk about the CPU, the GPU, and the neural engine. Let's start with the CPU. It is an Apple-designed 6-core CPU. This is a Fusion system. It has 2 high-performance cores, 4 high-efficiency cores. The 2 high-performance cores run up to 15% faster than the cores in the A11 Bionic, while also being 40% more energy efficient. And the high-efficiency cores are up to 50% more energy efficient, and all 6 cores can run at once. The GPU, well, this is an Apple-designed GPU.
More of this. They have more about the tech and less about what it does than when Steve was doing it. Not to go always go back to Steve, but Steve was always like, it's not about the stats.
It's a huge jump in graphics performance. But the real advancement, the real blowaway thing, is this neural engine. Now, you know, we introduced the first neural engine last year with the A11
Bionic. I think people are more comfortable hearing these kinds of things than they used to be.
Much further. The A11 was a 2-core design.
Just none of this matters.
Is an 8-core dedicated machine learning engine.
It does. We just want to know what it does. I mean, like, it gives you something to talk about, I guess.
And it has a smart compute system.
But a lot of it is marketing speak.
It's able to analyze the neural network and figure out on the fly whether to run it on the CPU, the GPU, or the neural engine. I mean, this is
more than with phones than with computers. Just all of this is
A11 Bionic.
Not as important as is it going to be snappy.
600 billion operations.
Because it's apples to oranges because the Android is doing something completely different. Like you don't have any, it's just.
5 trillion operations per second. Unbelievable.
It's just not why people buy phones.
Now, the A12 Bionic is a complete system on a chip, so there's so much more. And the team works very hard to be just as innovative at every one of these things than the A12 Bionic. It has a next-generation image signal processor, incredible video coders and decoders. There's our display engine, our audio system. Of course, it has a secure enclave. There's memory controllers, storage controllers. The Apple-designed storage controller in the A12 Bionic can now address twice as much internal storage as previously. So now you can up to 512 gigabytes of internal storage if you want. That's a 0.5 terabyte on your iPhone in your pocket. That's enough for over 200,000 photos stored on your iPhone. It is incredible.
I think I have about 40,000 right now, so it sounds like I've got some headroom now if I get this.
This A12 Bionic is without question the smartest and most powerful chip ever in a smartphone.
I'm going to use every one of those 5 trillion
operations. So much of the experience we have with iPhone is driven by this chip, and it's going to enable us to have so many great new experiences not possible before. So I'm very excited to bring out Kyan Drance to show you just what we can do with iPhone. And Kyan is our Senior Director of iPhone Product Marketing. Kyan?
A12 Bionic was designed for iPhone, not any other smartphone. This is one of the reasons why our team can deliver a chip designed for incredible performance, great battery life, for everything iPhone needs, from our everyday tasks to our most advanced technologies, such as every time you look at your phone and unlock it with Face ID, or play an immersive game on our edge-to-edge Super Retina display. And each time you take a remarkable photo, every single thing you do touches the chip, the CPU, the GPU, or any other powerful component all throughout, best in class, and designed for iPhone for the very best performance. So, next time you unlock your phone, perhaps launch Photos, searching through the thousands of photos you have to find just the one you're looking for, deciding how to share it amongst different apps, such as Messages, and then moving on to the next thing with multitasking, perhaps landing in maps to find directions. A12 Bionic makes these everyday tasks feel fast and effortless. And A12 Bionic, with the performance updates in iOS 12, helps apps launch up to 30% faster. So we'll focus on these everyday experiences, but even beyond that, such as those that make use of machine learning. Now, we've used machine learning for a number of years now to make our features even better, such as quick type suggestions in messages, in memories, how we curate your photos and videos, getting real-time suggestions in maps when you need them, our True Tone adaptive display, of course, finding the very best photo of your cat or other pet. But what's really remarkable this year is that our next generation neural engine unlocks the power of real-time machine learning. This is incredibly important for apps like Camera, and we use that depth information for portrait mode and portrait lighting. In Animojis, mapping those 50 different facial muscles over your face in a live FaceTime call. That is computationally really intense. And of course, our immersive AR experiences, our fun new Memoji, and the new Clips app launching this fall will make use of portrait segmentation on the neural engine for even better selfie scenes like the one you see here in Incredibles 2. In iOS 12, we're also announcing and launching Siri Shortcuts, so you can get even more done with just a tap or by asking Siri to help. You can easily create a shortcut with multiple steps like the one I used this morning. Let's take a look. I just press and hold or ask Siri to run my Keynote Day shortcut. Now, the first thing it'll do, it'll kick off my HomeKit-enabled accessories, then it'll order my morning coffee. It'll tell me how long it takes for me to go pick up.
She has the mid-mojito, too, just like the last person who did this demo.
And then it'll kick off the reminder I set.
Everybody seems to like the mojito, too. This is a conspiracy.
And start my music playlist. And here we go. And this is just one of many things that you can do with Siri.
There's some coffee shop like, why are we getting so many orders from mojito, too? About every 3 months, it just skyrocketed.
We're really excited this year to be opening up our neural engine to Core ML. And Core ML is going to get a lot faster. It's going to get up to 9 times faster. But it's going to run with as little as 1/10 the energy. This is tremendous. It means developers can run their most complex, most advanced neural networks in their apps and do so even more often. Then freeing up the power of the GPU for more immersive graphics like never before, which, by the way, is really useful for augmented reality. And this is another area that we're focused on. That camera viewfinder has turned into a wonderful window to these new AR experiences, such as this app here called Fishing Go that lets you turn your surroundings into this immersive marine aquarium where you can discover more than 200 species of sea life. iPhone XS is the best platform for AR. We custom calibrate our cameras and sensors for the best AR experience. And A12 Bionic, the GPU, helps us render realistic graphics, the ISP for real-world lighting, and the neural engine for object reflections and more. And it joins the best AR software with ARKit 2, where apps can access enhanced surface and object detection, persistent experiences, multiple users. And we've even included a new Measure app built in. And with AR Quick Look, you can look at a 3D object like this one here in Safari.
This I'm actually
just
pretty excited
about. Bring it out into the real world.
You can email stuff to people, and then they can, you know, it can be in your email because it's basically a file format.
What are you emailing to them?
A 3D model.
I heard some examples today of how H12 Bionic,
then they can pop it up in front of themselves, on their desk and take a look at it and walk around it. It's a pretty, that whole process that they showed at WWDC is pretty exciting.
To our talented pool of developers and that wonderful ecosystem where they have access to the best software with iOS 12 and the A12 Bionic. This takes us to the next generation of apps. And we're thrilled to have 3 developers here today to show you what's possible in just a short amount of time. Now, our first developer is making use of the CPU and GPU to take their game to the next level of impact.
Wingnut.
Please welcome Todd Howard, game director of Bethesda Game Studios.
It seems like every time it's like Wingnut Studios.
So do we think they're going to announce anything else besides iPhones and Apple Watches?
Thank you.
Well,
you know, I wrote
seems
my
like they're moving
game
through this pretty fast. I mean, they could do an iPad here.
On an Apple II. And I got to tell you, I took full advantage of every single one of those low-res 40 by 40 pixels.
They're only an hour into it.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how far we've come. With the technology that is packed into our phones, we can now start reaching for games that are more than simple diversions, but experiences that can truly transport you. And in the new iPhone, we've been able to do just that. Let's take a look at our new Elder Scrolls game, Blades. Like the series is known for, it is a massive first-person role-playing game full of stories, quests, and an incredible world to explore. You play one of the Blades, the Empire's elite warriors, and you'll define your own character and how you want to engage in combat. You can use defense, melee, or magic. And on the iPhone's OLED screen, we can pull out all of the detail that you'd usually miss in the bright and the dark areas. You can see the lighting from these crystals bloom, reflect off of the water. We can have that lighting bounce off of the walls. And we can even have it reflect off of your sword. Additionally, we can use the new stereo widening on the iPhone so you can hear the forest around you, all without headphones. And scenes like this used to only be possible in your living room.
Just to bug you on a
high-end gaming console.
Like, who plays
without
headphones?
We can do them now on your phone while doing full-screen post-processing.
So if you're alone, you wouldn't?
All while rendering 40% faster than before.
I guess I just don't even think about it. It's just, I'm not alone very much.
You'll see the sword follows Craig's specific movements and timings. It feels incredible. And that new depth of field camera effect really lets you focus your actions during combat. And spiders are just terrifying. We've been able to pull off some incredible environments that just weren't possible before. 12-year-old me would not be able to comprehend
that
all
you can
of
watch
these
this on a phone. I mean, I worked on a real-time game in 1994, 1995, and on the fastest computers you could use at the time. And
as we battle this lich,
doing this on a phone.
The phone to bring all those parts together.
I'm old.
The visuals, the sound.
So now you're impressed with the bionic chip?
Yes, this is all they needed to show. They're like, right. Dreams are going to look great. You know, like, I don't need to know that it's got this much XMR and 15% more and it uses this much less power. All we want to know is fastest chip ever. You can play your games longer and your battery will be the same length. You know, that's all we need to know.
Elder Scrolls like this and on your phone. Blades is coming to iOS this fall. It's available for pre-order right now. We'll see you out there.
He did pretty well. A lot of these game developers just get chewed up by the process of getting ready for this event.
Thank you, Todd.
I've talked to some folks that have been on stage, and they're like 6 weeks of... Do you have your hands moving? Camera. Don't do that.
Here's David Lee, CEO of Next Team, and Steve Nash, two-time NBA MVP and a new member of the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Thanks, Kyan. Home Court is an app that uses Core ML to track basketball shots by simply pointing your iPhone at a court.
When I was young and learning the game, I never really knew if I was doing the right things to improve my game. I would spend hours and hours shooting by myself, just hoping I was refining the techniques that would take me to the next level. I've been working closely with the Home Court team on a tool that will revolutionize basketball training. And I can't wait to show you what we can do with the new iPhone.
We couldn't bring a basketball court here, so we went out last week and saw Steve training an athlete. We now have a screen recording of our app running on the new iPhone. Let's take a look.
Why couldn't they bring a basketball court
the app
there?
Recognizes the hoop and the court automatically.
You can't is a big word.
They need a little
we
more
decided
money.
Not.
Tracking basketball shot attempts, the mix indicated by the dots on the floor, and misses by the red X's. Drawn as an overlay right on the court. With the new iPhone and Core ML 2, we see a massive performance gain that allows us to do a lot more. The powerful A12 Bionic let our Core ML models run up to 9 times faster, and that unlocks new features that were not possible before. Let's take a look at what's going on under the hood. Only on a new iPhone, we can run real-time player tracking, real-time pose estimation, real-time ball detection, and trajectory estimation all at the same time. We call this real-time shot science that tracks 6 metrics for every single shot the player takes. These insights
okay,
are not
cool.
visible.
Yeah, how are they doing that?
To become a great shooter, you need to practice every day. You need to shoot at game speed and with the right posture. I focus my students on staying low and stable when they shoot. Home court is giving players immediate feedback to help them understand if they are practicing with the right form. Release time is also a great indicator of whether the player is shooting at game speed while staying low. These meaningful insights and feedback just weren't possible before.
When you see that release time from the set, it will be displayed on screen. An app can also give audio feedback through the built-in stereo speaker or your AirPods.
As players train with real-time feedback, they build muscle memory. I really wish that when I was younger, we had these tools. Home court is great for every basketball player who wants to get better, whether you're a beginner or a pro.
The most amazing part is this is all done with just your new iPhone. There are no sensor on the player, no sensor on the ball, and no sensor on the court. And that's home court real-time shot science. Shipping as an update this fall.
I mean, when my son was having trouble with batting, I took slow motion of him. So we could like watch what he was doing with his head, watch what he was doing there, and that was just slow-mo. Yeah. This is going to revolutionize
kids. So our third app makes use of AR to do even more in a game. Here's Atlee Marr, CEO of Directive Games.
Yeah, I really like that. I feel like I could have been a pro basketball player with that.
Playing with friends at arcades has always been a lot of fun.
How that could be
generations
a lot
of gamers mm-hmm. have enjoyed countless hours playing some of the world's best titles. And now in AR, we are able to have our own arcade cabinet wherever and whenever we want. And with ARKit 2, multiple players are able to share the same AR experience. Joining me here are my friends, and they are eager to climb the leaderboards. Andrea, Shihai, Alessandra, are you guys ready?
We're ready to battle, Atlee.
This is Galaga AR. Just like the classic, you eliminate your enemies, you avoid being attacked, and you grab power-ups.
Yeah, one thing you'll notice is that they always use that kind of textured wood, you know, the kind of natural wood look.
Uh-huh.
That is because it's easier for the phone to track. You know, because you've got detail there. So what happens is the phone's doing it. We were talking about this on screensavers, but the phone is basically grabbing 2D information out of there and then tracking it and looking at the parallax between those points. And so it looks nice. It looks like, oh, we're doing something natural. And fortunately, wood grain is part of the, what people like right now. But the main reason that I think that they're using it is because it's easier for the phone to grab onto it and maintain a solid track because it's got lots of little contrast details that the AR can get a hook on. Otherwise, it wouldn't have anything to grab onto.
Were you a big Galaga fan as a youth?
No. If they did this with asteroids, you'd have my attention. Or Space Invaders, or Missile Command. Sorry. Been a long time since I thought about Missile Command.
Last year, we shipped our first AR game. And now, with new features of ARKit 2 and the power of the new iPhone, we are able to craft experiences at a much higher fidelity, as well as connect players, both digitally and in the physical world. Look for the first game in our AR Arcade series on the App Store later this year. Thank you.
How to focus on dreams. Taking a little longer to get probably into some of the other industries.
We can't wait for you guys to experience those apps and games. This is really just the beginning. We're scratching the surface of what's going to be possible on the iPhone XS and the A12 Bionic. No other chip in the world would allow us to do this. Thank you. And now back to Phil.
I think that they do need to spend more time building examples that are not games and show how it uses an industry, how you use it in everyday life. And there's a lot of ways to do that, and I don't think that they're spending enough time on that.
Powers so many incredible new experiences, and that includes the camera. We all love the cameras in our iPhone. No doubt, you all know, it is the world's most popular camera, and for great reason. Over 10 years, customers have been taking incredible photographs with their iPhone cameras like this and sharing them with us around the world and telling us stories with them. And we're so proud of all the people who use the iPhone camera, from consumers to even increasingly professionals are using them for photos like this. And this is a beautiful portrait photo. But what makes us so proud of it is that it appeared on the cover of Time magazine. This is their issue for women who are changing the world, and we couldn't be prouder to be part of that story. Well, you are going to be blown away with the pictures you can take with the iPhone XS's camera. It is a remarkable new dual camera system. It has a 12-megapixel wide camera, a 12-megapixel telephoto camera, and an even more improved True Tone flash. That 12-megapixel wide camera has a new sensor, a larger sensor with bigger, deeper pixels. It has optical image stabilization and our fast 1.8 aperture lens, it's Apple 6-element lens. The telephoto camera is also a 12-megapixel camera, also optical image stabilization, f2.4 Apple design lens. On the front side, you have the True Depth camera system. And that's a new sensor as well, a 7-megapixel sensor that's twice as fast. And it works together with the IR camera and the dot projector so it can create depth in your portrait mode photos. And as we talk about cameras, of course, everyone talks about the sensors and the lens, and rightly so, they're an important part of the camera system. But increasingly, what makes incredible photos possible aren't just the sensor and the lens, but it's the chip and the software that runs on it. And this is so true with iPhone photography. So, for example, in the A12 Bionic is the image signal processor, working together with the CPU. And it does so many things every time we take a picture. It automatically sets exposure, white balance, sets the focus, does noise reduction in low light photography. It brings out highlights and details, and it can fuse multiple images together, like when you do an HDR photo or create a beautiful panorama. And the ISP and the A12 Bionic does all of this better than ever before. But what it does that is entirely new is connect together the ISP with that neural engine to use them together to make our photos incredible. So, for example, the CPU and the neural engine can work together to do detection of people's faces and bodies to understand the scene that you're shooting, and can do facial landmarking. So it recognizes exactly where the eyes are and does instant red eye reduction that looks perfect. And it creates better segmentation masks. So when you're doing portrait mode, the hair and the glasses are better than ever before.
Usually they just call that an alpha channel.
This is an amazing amount of power for our camera team. In fact, when you take a photo,
I guess
it's capable
to
of doing
the
trillion operations on every photo you take.
Someone of this impresses you?
That edge problem was really, when they first started doing the portrait view, that was really where you'd see it, is fluffy edges of people's hair. And it's definitely gotten better, but I imagine this will be even better. And this is one of the number one reasons people upgrade their phones, so it's important.
To bring out highlights and shadows and keep your subject looking great. Well, Smart HDR takes this idea so much further. So let's say you're taking a picture, and the camera recognizes you're shooting a subject, and the subject's moving. You go to press down on the shutter, and you get a picture instantly. It's called zero shutter lag. What the A12 Bionic is actually doing is shooting a 4-frame buffer so it can capture that critical moment. But the A12 Bionic is doing even more than that. It's also capturing secondary interframes at the same time. And those interframes are shot at a different exposure level to bring out highlight details. And it's doing more than that. It's shooting a long exposure so it can get better shadow detail as well. And when you're taking that picture, it's analyzing all of those, finding out how to match up the best parts of each and merge them into one perfect photo. That's Smart HDR. It is a breakthrough, and it makes taking photos easier than ever and to get beautiful results.
And that's much less trivial, actually, than when we're talking about. This is actually pretty impressive, because on that long exposure will be motion blurred, which means I'm going to have to remove the motion blur from the scene, which is what they're probably using.
Anything else, it's just straight from the camera. So here's one. I mean, this is stunning. Your subject, beautifully lit with natural light, beautiful skin tones, great detail and a nice, beautiful, soft background. But what's remarkable about this photo is it was a windy day by the water and her hair was blowing, yet you still get that incredible detail in her hair in this Smart HDR photo. Here's another example. As you can see, this is what you're not supposed to do, right? Shooting a photo into the sun, because that's going to blow out the exposure. But Smart HDR made sure we got a great sky, we got detail on the shadows of the water. But most of all, look at the water drops coming off of his hair and how crisp and detailed they are. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, all your photos come out so much better now with iPhone XS, no matter what your subject matter, people, pets. Look at the skin detail and the hair and the beautiful sky. If you said it shoots wide color photos as well, look at the color range on this photo. Shot straight off iPhone XS. And it looks even better with the higher dynamic range display on the iPhone XS when you look at it there. We introduced portrait mode and portrait lighting photos. Those are better than ever before. Here's an example. It's incredible, the level of detail. This is the stage light feature in the portrait lighting. It looks so beautiful. Here's another portrait lighting photo. Excuse me, portrait mode photo. Beautiful, soft background. These are better than ever before. And there's a huge advancement here. Remember the area on the background of the photo, that the quality of that blur is what the industry calls bokeh. And the team wanted to make a big advancement in what can be done with bokeh. And they've done some amazing work here. They studied some of the highest-end full-frame cameras and expensive fast lenses to characterize the quality of professional bokeh and then bring that capability to more and more of us through the portrait mode photos we can take with iPhone. And what they've achieved is really breakthrough. So I'm going to show you a photo now. I'll just tell you right up front, this was not shot with a high-end expensive camera. This is shot with an iPhone XS, and it is breakthrough. It is absolutely beautiful. The detail on her face, the great skin tones, obviously reflecting from the surface of the car to light it up. But that background and the quality of that bokeh is remarkable. This is a breakthrough in photography for a smartphone. But further than that, the team discovered something remarkable. This is so, so exciting. I can't tell if you can tell I'm excited about this, but this is... So when you take the picture with portrait mode, and then you go into the Photos app, and you tap Edit, you're going to see a new slider on the bottom. It says Depth. Yeah, someone said no. Get ready for this. Because, and let me blow it up. You're going to have to watch two things at once. You're going to watch the depth, and you're going to watch the background. You can, after taking the picture, adjust the depth of field from f1.4 to f16.
Now, this is something that Focos had been doing already.
The app, Focos.
Yeah, Focos, which is a great app.
Yeah,
let's do that again. We're going to slide the depth of
field.
Now,
unfortunately, what this...
As it changes the depth of field of your photo. This is done after you've taken it. This has not been possible in photography of any kind of camera.
Focus would like you to do is also change the center of the focus. I don't know if they're going to show that or not.
Let me show you one more example.
And you could tap on the background, and it would go sharp, and the person would go in the foreground.
There's another photo shot, an iPhone XS, and that's a beautiful background, an incredible higher quality bokeh. And as we looked at it, we selected f2.0 because we thought it had just the right depth of field we want in the photo. I mean, this is a new era of photography. Some people call it computational photography. With the power of not only the sensor and the lens, but the A12 Bionic and incredible software and the care the camera team has put to creating high quality photography is making images possible now that weren't before. And the benefits of this are not only for photography, but for video as well. It's a new era of videography as well, with this new sensor and the power of that A12 Bionic chip. And it can do many things. It has a twice as fast sensor, can take advantage of a lot of this technology to give better image quality in our videos. And there's something else the team has done too. Taking advantage of the four microphones built into iPhone XS, we can record stereo sound with your videos as well. And it replays back with that beautiful wide stereo field, and it sounds amazing. So let me show you a quick video that we shot with iPhone XS. Just natively shot on it, nothing done to it other than we edit it for length, and it's shot in low light, and it creates images that weren't possible before. Here we are.
Hey, what's up? You made it up here.
Yeah. Nice little drive in.
I will say I'm going to IBC tomorrow. It's a big video show, and of course I'm shooting everything there on my iPhone.
Oh, really? You know,
it's too much trouble to bring something else. So yeah, I don't need anything else. I can just shoot it with my iPhone. Definitely has turned that corner, especially for stuff that's news gathering type stuff.
Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful video. You just shoot it 4K, but there's a lot going on that the system's doing for us. Autofocus, auto exposure, bringing out the highlight details, the shadow details with wider dynamic range, amazing color rendering and tone mapping, and stereo sound being recorded automatically. So that's photography, that's video, that's our camera. Now let's talk about battery life. Mm. Increasingly, all smartphone users want more performance, bigger screens, but longer battery life too. The teams really worked hard on this. iPhone XS is able to, compared to iPhone X, get you up to 30 minutes longer in your day than iPhone X did, and that's really great. iPhone XS Max has the biggest battery we've ever put into an iPhone, and it can get you up to an hour and a half longer in your day.
That's great. I have to admit that I just have charger around all the time now.
Me too. For your iPhone 10?
My lifestyle. For everything. I'm just constantly charging.
Bands than any other smartphone, so they have the best worldwide roaming. And speaking of worldwide capabilities, one thing we've had requests for is dual SIM capability.
There you go.
Well, some of you know what this is for the rest.
And I'll take that dual SIM and I'll raise you with an eSIM.
Some people want two phone numbers on their phone. There may be a home number and a work number. Some want two different plans depending on the region of the world they're in and what they need. And many of us like to travel and want to keep our local phone number, but may need to get a data plan in the region we're in so we can have access to fast data there. To do this, into iPhone XS and XS Max, we built a technology called DSDS, or Dual SIM, Dual Standby. This means that you have both phone numbers there in your phone, waiting to get the call. Whichever one gets it becomes the active line.
Wow, and to enable that's great.
That, yeah. We've added our eSIM technology. eSIM.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. eSIM.
He reacted right to me. I was in there.
Yeah, he was pointing at you.
He's like, there you go, Alex.
We're shipping it in cellular iPads, in cellular watches, and now we're bringing it to iPhone. So with eSIM, it's built in, easy to set up a second line. You can point your camera at a QR code from a carrier and set it up. And the teams work to make sure in the software that the fact that you have two different phone numbers is understood, and you can name them home and work, primary, secondary, whatever. And then throughout the user experience, you'll see that a phone call is coming in on a certain line, and you know how to deal with that. Now, support for eSIM requires support from carriers, and we've been working with many great carrier partners, and they're going to be rolling out eSIM support throughout the fall and many more into next year. We're really, really happy to be working with them on this. So that's how we're going to provide dual SIM support around the world. We will have a single physical SIM and an eSIM in both iPhone XS and XS Max. In China, where we can't bring eSIM into iPhone yet, we're making a special model of the iPhone XS Max that has two physical SIMs, actually one on each side of the SIM tray. It's a really smart implementation, and we think they're going to love that.
Right now, I carry two phones for that reason.
So this
when I go overseas, I want T-Mobile.
And XS Max.
Not necessarily in the
United States. They are packed with so many new advancements. Better Super Retina displays, 5.8-inch, and the new 6.5-inch OLED displays. Our next generation.
I'm curious how the
nanometer,
how the eSIMs manage the data rates. Mm-hmm. Like what when you're downloading or surfing, what are you getting? What bandwidth, you know, which
sensor,
one are you pulling from?
Smart HDR, portrait mode with more beautiful bokeh, dynamic depth of field, higher quality videos with HD.
Still a lot of time
4K.
On the clock, and we're finishing up the iPhone, which sounds
new
like we'll get at least one more thing.
Faster for Face ID. Gigabit class LTE is beautiful new gold finish. Protection to IP68 and so much more. These are incredible new iPhones. And the team works really hard to make these iPhones the most environmentally friendly manner possible. To tell you a little bit more about that, I'm really excited to bring out Lisa.
Lisa.
Thanks, Phil. You know, we never stop thinking about what's best for the planet. This starts with our products, but it extends to everything we do at Apple. So, for instance, earlier this year, we announced something pretty amazing. You may have heard about it already, but we can't help repeating ourselves because we now run Apple on 100% renewable energy for all of our facilities worldwide.
That's impressive.
Now, of course, that includes the gorgeous campus that we're on right now. It's powered by our own solar panels and directed biogas fuel cells. But it's also about the facilities that you don't often see, like our data centers, which used lots of clean energy to support services like iMessage. And that means every time you send an iMessage or make a FaceTime video call, we're using lots of clean energy to make that happen. Now, when we set out to do this, people said it couldn't be done. And if you know Apple, those are exactly the kinds of challenges that we love. So we've done it, and we're really, really proud of it. And now we're on to the next challenge. We hope to one day eliminate our need to mine new materials from the Earth. Now, as you can imagine, this is a massive effort. So to reach that goal, we'll have to do three things. First, we'll have to find new ways to make our products with recycled or renewable materials that are sourced responsibly. Then we'll have to ensure that our products last as long as possible. And then finally, after a long life of use, we have to ensure that they're recycled properly. So let's take a look at some of the material innovations within the new iPhones that we've just announced. We've transitioned to using recycled tin in the main logic board of iPhone, including the new iPhone XS. And of course, this is with no reduction in quality or performance. This one change will prevent the mining of over 10,000 tons of tin ore in a single year.
That's a lot of tons.
And we're doing this with other materials as well. We have a better plastics program, and through that, we're reducing our use of traditional plastics and transitioning to recycled and bio-based materials. For example, the speaker enclosure for iPhone XS is now made with 35% post-consumer recycled plastics. And the cover glass, yeah, that's good. And the cover glass frame is made with 32% bio-based plastic. It's better for the planet, but it's also tougher and it performs better. Second, we also make sure to design and build durable products that last as long as possible. That means long-lasting hardware coupled with our amazing software. All of these devices, including the iPhone 5S, run iOS 12. And iOS 12 is designed to make your iPhone and iPad experience even better, even more responsive, faster, just better. And because they last longer, you can keep using them. And keeping using them is the best thing for the planet. And finally, when it comes time to reuse and recycle, we have Apple Give Back. This is something I'm really proud of. With Apple Give Back, it doesn't matter what device you have or what condition it's in. Bring it in or mail it in to us. We'll assess it, and if it can be used by someone else, we'll give you the value. If not, we'll recycle it properly. For free. Maybe we'll even use a robot. Who remembers Liam? We'll meet his sister, Daisy, who can disassemble 9 different models of iPhone. Using Daisy, we can reuse those recycled materials in future products. And the more we do this, the less we'll have to mine from the Earth. So that iPhone 5S, with Apple Give Back, it can go on to another user when you're ready to switch to a new iPhone. And when it comes to the new iPhone XS, you can feel confident that it too was designed for another long life of use. Either way, it's good for you, but it is a huge win for the planet. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
I think it was useful. I mean, you know, could have been a little shorter, but I think that, you know, showing what they're doing there, I think, helps put pressure on other companies as well to start going down that path.
The collaboration between all the teams to do everything.
Of course, they do it before they announce the price of the phones, too.
To the Give Back program. Just great work, and we're really proud of everything they do. So, iPhone XS, iPhone XS Max, they are stunning. The best
$2,000
ever made by a long shot. We are so excited about the technologies in here, the experiences they're going to bring to people. And we hope customers love them just as much as we do. We want to reach as many customers as we can with this incredible technology. So that's why we are very excited to show you one more iPhone.
one more iPhone. This is the cheaper one.
Right. It's the kids' iPhone. That's what it feels like when you look at it. It's for the kids.
I like the bright colors.
Okay.
I'm a kid.
But it feels like it's really pushing towards the millennials, the you know, it's like.
Yeah. Oh. Millennials. No, this is for the crib. This is
they're
born, you get an iPhone.
So excited to introduce you to the iPhone XR. And we hope it reaches even more customers with this amazing, incredible technology. It's made from 7000 series aerospace-grade aluminum and has more durable glass. It is absolutely stunning. It comes incredible new finishes. White, black, blue.
Your kids are going to love it.
Coral, yellow, each beautifully designed with that aluminum finish, the glass in the back.
Not like
screen goes edge to edge and top to bottom. There's even an incredible product red one as well, and it is beautiful. All of these are protected from dust and liquids to IP67. They're designed end to end with the most incredible technology. This display is really what strikes you, though. It's an LCD display that for the first time goes edge to edge. It took advanced new engineering and technology to do pixel masking and pixel anti-aliasing and to have LEDs that fit into a smaller space than ever before. This is the most advanced LCD ever in a smartphone. And it's so cool, we had to give it its own cool new name. It's called the Liquid Retina Display.
Gotta
think
of something.
The Liquid Retina display is 6.1 inches on the diagonal. Now let's bring, first it's 1.4 million pixels and it's 326 pixels per inch. So true retina image quality. Now let's bring that iPhone 8 Plus next to it because it's really interesting. It is a bigger display than the iPhone 8 Plus in a smaller design. The design actually fits perfectly between the size of an 8 and an 8 Plus. So we think it's going to make a lot of customers really happy. So a 6.1-inch liquid retina display, an LCD display, 1.4 million pixels. It supports tapped awake. It has that 120 hertz touch-sensitive layer, so it scrolls super fast. It has great color management, color accuracy. It is a wide color display, and it has true tone support. So the whites, the paper white, and all the lights, you use them. And it is an iPhone X experience on an LCD display. So that means you tap it to wake it up. There's no home button. You swipe up to go to the home screen, first for an LCD display. Swipe down to get your notifications. Swipe down to get to Control Center from the right corner. Now, it doesn't have 3D touch, but here again, the team came up with something really smart. It has a new feature we call haptic touch. So to get to the camera from the home screen, you just press on it, you feel a haptic tap, and you're taken right to the camera. This is similar technology to what we do with the trackpad and the MacBook Pro that we all love so much. It is a great experience. And like every iPhone X new experience, it has Face ID. And there's a true depth camera system, the same true depth camera system in iPhone XS and XS Max. So it's infrared camera, flood illuminator, proximity sensor, ambient light sensor, dot projector, front camera, speaker, and microphone. All the technology to have an incredible Face ID experience. So you look at iPhone XR to unlock it. You look at it to pay with Apple Pay. And like iPhone XS and XS Max, it's faster with its faster algorithms running on a faster, secure enclave. And inside the iPhone XR is nothing but the best chip we make, our brand new 7-nanometer A12 Bionic chip. So this is a powerhouse.
Sounds like they're really saving money on
faster
the camera
CPU,
and
faster
on the
GPU,
screen.
Faster neural engine.
Is the haptic touch instead of 3D touch?
No, I think that's what the... I think it's so that you don't have a moving part there. So I think that the button there doesn't go in and out. It gives you a haptic touch, which probably saves the money on the button. As well.
It's a single camera system, our best single camera system that we've ever made. It's a 12 megapixel wide-angle camera, the exact same wide-angle camera in the XS and XS Max. So it's our new generation sensor that's larger with bigger pixels, optical image stabilization.
It's kind of like, there's no shame in buying it.
Focus pixels,
it's okay.
Fast
really
f1.8 aperture, Apple design lens, and the new improved True Tone flash.
My wife
will
be fine with this one.
And it takes beautiful photos, like this one. So this was taken from an iPhone XR. It is stunning. Incredible detail, beautiful tone mapping. It's probably something you've noticed about this photo, though. It's a portrait mode photo with that beautiful background blur, taken from a single camera system. This is remarkable. What the team is able to do is combine hardware and software to create a depth segmentation map using the focus pixels and neural net software so that we can create portrait mode photos on the brand new iPhone XR. Here's another example. Just incredible. Beautiful.
Notice how he has the hoodie on.
Focus on the subject. Great lighting.
That makes it a lot easier.
Beautiful just, background you know. Bokeh.
Why
yes,
does
it gets
make it
the
easier?
Same advanced bokeh
hard edge.
We talked about.
It's much easier to identify foreground to background with a hard edge.
And it gets depth control dynamically after you've taken the picture. So all that breakthrough.
My daughter has very curly hair, so I'm very familiar with where it doesn't work.
Take it from iPhone.
Okay, this is harder, and you'll see some of that in her hair on that on the right side there.
Smart.
Put a hat on.
Well. Yep.
Helps to bring out highlights.
Look, that's pretty good.
Shadows, even in low light photos. It is wide.
You see a little bit of blurring
well,
on her right side
stunning,
there.
Beautiful, rich color photographs. On the front side is the same true depth camera system as iPhone XS and XS Max with its latest technology. So you get full support for portrait mode and portrait lighting. It can take some of the best selfies you've ever seen.
See how
off the
clean her edges look on around her hair?
Mm-hmm.
That's too clean.
But what about
like it's cutting
life?
Off some of the wisps.
Right.
But here the story continues to be just great. With this performance and this big screen, the team's worked hard to give great battery life. So let's compare it to the iPhone 8 Plus. So many customers love the long battery life of that. Well, iPhone XR gives you up to an hour and a half more in your day than the iPhone 8 Plus. So this is the brand new iPhone XR. It's a 6.1-inch liquid retina display, an LCD display, the most advanced ever in the industry. It is our latest 7-nanometer A12 Bionic chip with its faster CPU and GPU and that breakthrough neural engine and helping deliver even longer battery life. It's the best single camera system we've ever made with our new generation 12 megapixel sensor with support for smart HDR, portrait modes with beautiful bokeh, dynamic depth control, incredible video. It has the same true depth camera system as iPhone XS and XS Max with faster Face ID and on, these six beautiful new finishes, that incredible 7000 series aerospace grade aluminum and IP67 protection from liquids and dust. iPhone XS, XS Max, and iPhone XR have arsenic-free display glass, mercury-free displays, BFR-free, PVC-free, beryllium-free. They're designed and manufactured in a low-carbon process, and they're highly recyclable. We're so proud of all that work the team does. This is a huge day for iPhone. We now have iPhone XS, XS Max, and XR, three new models of iPhone. We have a product video about it to tell you a little bit more, and they're amazing.
We have a product video that's going to tell you a little bit more about what we already told you.
The iPhone X described our vision for the future of the smartphone.
Okay, so there's the XS, the XR, and the XS Max, but there's no XR Max.
Across three no, entirely new products. No, it's definitely the less expensive, but it's impressive how much they put into it for a less. We don't know what the price is. I'm going to guess something like $7.99 is probably the price for the. If they go lower than that, then they're really playing hard. But $6.99 or $7.99 is probably where we're going to see the less expensive one. I'm still guessing these are going to start at $9.99, but maybe higher. But I think that I think the fully loaded, the last one was $12.50. I think the iPhone X.
Mm-hmm.
with you know, all the memory and everything else that you might want to put in it. So, so we'll see what the price ranges are, but definitely getting something that has that many features into a less expensive phone puts a lot of pressure on Samsung and other folks. So the less expensive phone, I think, is important to not let too much of the ecosystem get on up underneath them, because they really own the profitable phone market. Samsung and a lot of other folks sell more phones, they just don't make as much money on them. And Samsung is probably the only other phone company that's making money at all on phones. I mean, I think everything else, everyone trying to have volume make up for it, but it hasn't really panned out.
The most powerful chip ever in a smartphone. Its next generation neural engine dedicates machine learning to everything from augmented reality to photography. With a more advanced dual camera system and neural engine.
So computer in the chat room says $699, $899, and $999. I don't know if that is a guess or they're ahead of us on the live stream. But.
Yeah, exactly. $699 would be a great number for that feature set. I mean, you're basically getting most of what you saw on the iPhone X last year at $999. Mm-hmm. I think $699 is not a bad price, especially given that more and more people are now, you know, getting into a payment plan. You know, it's not really $699 or $999. It's, you know, $21 versus $32 a month kind of thing.
Performance and extended dynamic range now records in stereo, and your content plays back in widened stereo sound. iPhone XR integrates the same breakthrough technologies. It's powered by the same A12 Bionic chip, has the same versatile true depth camera with the same advanced Face ID. An entirely new range of finishes are enabled by precision machined structural aluminium bands anodized to complement an all-glass enclosure. The all-screen liquid retina display is the most...
So the all-glass enclosure, the iPhone X is not all-glass, right?
...in the industry.
I don't think so.
Allows sorry, the display
to extend into yeah, no, I don't think it's all glass. Corners,
enabling a larger so is all glass cheaper than ever before? Is that how they're bringing the price down? Camera system
combined with machine learning allows it might be. It also helps it. Nice people. It's probably cheaper to make. Yeah. And add depth. If you're not building one continuous piece,
right?
So you can take more dramatic portraits.
And it's an
I mean, really,
screen.
It looks like. It is like an LCD. So you got LCD, a cheaper phone. I mean, cheaper camera, and LCD. I think are probably the two biggest things that they're using to lower that price. Those are probably the two most expensive components of the phone.
iPhone XR.
So there it is. Now I assume we'll get the price.
Thank you. Well, iPhone XR will come in 6 finishes and in 3 sizes. 64 gigabytes, 128 gigabytes, and 256 gigabytes of storage. And it will start at $749.
Mm-hmm. So much for $699.
That's less expensive than the iPhone 8 Plus. Really proud of the work the team has done on that.
Yes, I was expecting $799, which is about
October
the same one there.
October 19th, and it'll start to ship a week later than that, October 26th. iPhone XS will come in 3 configurations, 64 gigs, 256 gigs, and that new 512 gigabyte storage capacity. It starts at $999. The iPhone XS Max, same 3 configurations, with its larger screen, larger battery, we just $100 more, starting at $1099.
Just $100 more.
That's how they get you. You go in for the $999, and then you go, I'll go for the $1099. I want $256 or I want $512. Before you know it, you've spent $1,500.
And it'll ship a week later, September 21st. And it'll start shipping in all of these markets. Nice long list. But if you don't see your favorite location there, don't worry. A week later, it'll start shipping in all of these locations as well. This is... Yeah, somebody saw their favorite country or location. This is
Kazakhstan.
The fastest rollout geographically we've ever had for new iPhone. That's really great. So this holiday, we have an unbelievable lineup of iPhones. iPhone 7 starts now at just $449, and there are models of iPhone 7 and 7 Plus. iPhone 8, at $599, models of 8 and 8 Plus. The brand new iPhone XR starting at $749, XS at $999, and XS Max at $1099. They're all running iOS 12, the world's most advanced mobile operating system. And we can all upgrade to its performance and its great features, AR, Animoji, Memoji, screen time, and more next week, September 17th. So that is our news on iPhone.
So the iPhone 10 was not in that list. There's no, you can buy the 7 and the 8, but not the 10.
What a fantastic lineup.
They put it to sleep.
It's clearly the best lineup we've had by far, taking the breakthroughs of iPhone 10 even further than before and making them available to even more people. Now, before we close this morning, I've got a few more updates to give you. We've got an update to the HomePod, our breakthrough home speaker. We recently added stereo pairs in AirPlay 2. So now when you add a second HomePod to create a stereo pair...
Do you have two or do you just have one?
I just have one.
Wide
I only have one, too, and I really want to have two, but I can't justify it. I don't listen to long enough.
And yeah. AirPlay 2, HomePod
because you have Sonos in your whole house.
I know, that's the whole thing. Well, but in my office I have, I have Sonos 2 there too, but I have, it's hard to justify.
Create multiple timers, make and receive phone calls right from your HomePod, and just like your Apple Watch, you can ping your iPhone or any of your Apple devices to help find them around your house. It's incredibly useful at my house. And we couldn't be more excited about how Siri Shortcuts will open up a world of apps for the HomePod. Also, we'll be shipping a new update to tvOS with support for Dolby Atmos for Apple TV 4K.
Oh, that's big.
It's stunning new 4K aerials. And with access to a wide range of live sports and news programs, there are now well over 100 video partners available through the TV app. Both the HomePod and the tvOS updates will be available on Monday, September 17th. And then the following week, we've got a great new update for the Mac with macOS Mojave. All new dark mode and updates to desktop and Finder, enhanced privacy and security, and a completely redesigned Mac App Store. macOS Mojave will be available on September 24th. We're excited about this huge month and all of these big releases that we've got.
One mention of Mojave on the Macs.
So what a great morning. We introduced the Apple Watch Series 4, newly designed and re-engineered to help you stay even
more. Now, in the old days, we'd be waiting for one more thing, but...
No.
It is the most capable...
We already got one more iPhone.
Oh, there you go.
We showed you the new iPhone XS, the most advanced smartphone in the world, with a Super Retina display, advanced Face ID, a breakthrough dual camera system, and the smartest, most powerful chip ever in a smartphone. An iPhone XS is not just one phone, it's two. With the iPhone XS Max, the biggest screen ever in an iPhone, the biggest battery ever in an iPhone, and of course, the biggest experience ever in an iPhone. And the iPhone XR with the new Liquid Retina display. It shares so many of the advanced features of iPhone XS, and it is just stunning with six beautiful new finishes to choose from. iPhone XR will allow us to deliver the future of the smartphone to even more people. Now, at Apple, we're always pushing our products forward and making technology more personal. We hope that you love these new products as much as we do. We've got a hands-on area just upstairs that's going to open in a moment, and we hope that you'll take time to get your hands on them and experience them for yourselves. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us this morning, including those watching us online. And I especially like to thank all the people at Apple
who made this magical day possible. Thank you.
So I guess that's it. The only Max we got was the iPhone 10 Max.
Well, I don't think we expected it. I think that this is an iPhone. I think the only thing a lot of people were hoping for is possibly to see a new iPad, which we do expect this fall. But we didn't. I think, you know, the iPhone, I think the only time that they've shown off an iPad during an iPhone event has largely been when the iPhone was a small upgrade, which they obviously didn't think so here. You know, they have.
Have they ever released the cheaper phone, like what they used to call the S version phone, at the same time that they...
Yeah.
Did.
Yeah, they've definitely had. I don't know. Well, the S was the only one, or the C, I think, was released by itself, and I think it's really only been the C. That, you know, otherwise it's always been just older phones. And so I think this is the first time we've seen, like, hey, we're taking a bunch of the stuff and making it a little bit cheaper. They're still keeping the 7 and the 8, so that's keeping a lot of stuff in the pipeline. I think that people really like the C. I like the C mostly, not so much for the cheapness, but for the durability. It's small, it's easy to work with. So now we have less options in those areas. You know, the 7 and the 8 are probably a little more fragile than the C was, but obviously they had to move on. And I think that they're trying to make it as cost effective to bring the Face ID. I mean, they really want to move people, you know, to the Face ID, to the Memojis, to those things that are going to activate those processes. And so now all the phones they're selling now have either Touch ID or Face ID. So they're more secure phones.
Absolutely.
In that sense.
Yeah. And we joked. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's it.
We joked about the cheaper phone, the iPhone XR, being for kids, but I think they are aiming at the younger market there. I mean, and
it seems like it with the color. With the color, you'd think that they're really kind of aiming at folks that are a younger market. They're not necessarily going to throw big money at a big phone, but they're still looking for something that's going to produce a lot of what they want. They're still going to be able to use the Memojis. They're still going to have a relatively good camera. They're, you know, so there's a lot of upside for them. And in fact, they've definitely closed the gap between. I think there was a much larger gap between the 8 and the. And the 10 last year than what we saw today between the R and the X or the S. So I think that there is a, you know, they definitely closed that gap a little bit. So made it a little easier. I do think that people who don't get into all those specs and don't care, you know, I always think of my wife as kind of the, you know, she's not really that tech, you know, she doesn't really care about tech that much. And so she's quite happy with her 8. And she's not going to upgrade. I mean, she just bought it a little while ago. But I think that that's the type of model of folks that just they're not ready to spend an extra $200 or $300 on something that that they can't really see the difference.
Right, but
it's got enough of it.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Apple really wants to get more of these phones into people's hands, and they're not going to do that by selling only, you know, having the newest iPhone be $1,200 starting it.
Exactly.
Know. So that price point being a little bit lower, I think really, you know, will get the iPhone, keep selling more iPhones to more people.
Yeah. I think they could have gone through a lot of that stuff a little bit faster. I think they're losing a little of the showmanship of, like, really just tell us what's important. And, you know, I think the neural net was important. The neural engine was important because it really... they start to show why later. So I think that they needed to get to that a little bit faster, which is that it is making those calculations that are really interesting related to foreground, background, figuring out what's in the scene, figuring out what it has to do between frames. Those are things that are not non-trivial issues that it is figuring out. So I think that that's important. I don't know if they needed to spend quite so much time on getting us there, but I think that it's pretty impressive what any phone, but definitely what this phone is doing on the fly.
I think the Apple Watch announcements were really key. I started this off saying there wasn't going to be anything revolutionary, but I think that might be the closest we get to revolutionary, because obviously, they sell a lot more iPhones than they do Apple Watches, but I do believe that wearables are more. I don't want to say wearables are the future, because that just sounds silly, but I do believe that. I think that we are moving towards adoption maybe more slowly than the iPhone, but I do think that it just makes more sense to have your hands free in general when you're using these devices. And I think that FDA approval for the ECG ECG, not the defibrillator. You're not going to use a defibrillator on your wrist yet.
But clear.
I think that's big. And like you said, a lot of people who are maybe thinking, like, why do I need that? Maybe this is exactly. a good reason for them to use it.
Yeah, I mean, being the first one out, you're going to have a lot of doctors who are talking to folks that have possibly a known issue that they want to keep track of. And the idea that they could send that information when they don't feel well or when they feel like there's a little bit, things are a little off. There's a lot of really interesting possibilities there. So, and of course, the market that needs those things. I mean, even my father had a heart attack a year ago. That his population, his generation is getting bigger, you know, or not getting bigger, but getting into that age range where they need to kind of start paying attention to, you know, how things are going on a day-to-day basis. And so I think that there's definitely a need for measuring those things, and Apple being the first one to get FDA approval, which I think they are, and I don't think anybody else has gotten that kind of approval, could lead to a lot, millions of sales, which they're getting millions of sales right now. So doubling that, you know, because of a certain segment that needs to have that is good. And you know, the Apple Watch, you don't have to use everything to make it valuable. I don't use very much of the Apple Watch. Most of what they talk about there, I don't use it at all. I see my messages every once in a while. I turn almost everything else off because I don't like my wrist buzzing all the time. But I use the timer a lot. Mm-hmm. And I use the timer a lot, and I get I like my calendar updates to remind me when I'm having a meeting. But those are the things that I, you know, and I couldn't go back. I had a really great watch before, and I use the multiple time zones. I look at the multiple, I have my complications have multiple time zones. And so knowing, you know, where I am with who I've got to meet, and where I am in the plane and so on and so forth, I think is important. So there's only two or three things that I have, but I couldn't go back to a regular watch now. So that's all they have to do is tick off something else that somebody else is going to want to say, well, I need that for what I'm using.
And I think, you know, I mean, the brand new iPhone is a tool and a toy, but mostly it's a toy. I mean, you don't like it's fun to have it, if you know, it's great to be able to take fantastic looking selfies, and it's faster, and it's great for some people who want to listen to their video games without headphones and all those things. But for practical people, they're going to look at that price tag and think, that's ridiculous, I don't need that, my phone is just fine. But those are the same practical people that might look at an Apple Watch and say, you know, that would be useful to me. It would be useful because of a heart condition, or because, you know, the emergency response application that they announced last year, that was really useful for, you know, maybe someone buying an Apple Watch for their young child, just to, you know, that if they were in an emergency situation, they could, not young, I mean like teenage, going off to college age child, you know, having that be able to call 911 instantaneously. That was a feature. Like, everything has to have.
I do admit my temptation when I saw it is like, I really just, if I was younger, I would definitely get the new watch and I would put it under some kind of wrap and go play football with it. You know, it just see how often it gives me a little alert, like, you've fallen, you hit something, you've fallen. So I think that I do, you know, and I think that we're going to get to a point, especially if you look at what happened in France, where they say you can't have the phones. The question is, can you not have the watch? You know, and so, you know, because like with my kids, I'm much less likely to want them to have phones when they go to school, and more likely to want them to have a watch where they could contact me. I kind of know where they are. I think there's a real opportunity there that is, you know, could become interesting over time. And I think that Apple has to keep its foot in the game there. And I think that there's an ecosystem that really connects all these bits and pieces together. So you have the, you know, I very often am using, you know, if you think, when I think about how I use the gym, is my phone is playing somewhere in the gym. I set it down and I can wander around. It's a pretty quiet gym. And so, anyway, so I have my phone sitting somewhere. I have my AirPods on, and I'm controlling my timer between sets with my watch, you know, and that ecosystem, all of those pieces make the whole life experience better. And so I think that is the thing that Apple's trying to keep on closing, is the gap where you really want all of those items in one place rather than just one or two.
Mm-hmm. Well, for young kids, I meant, when I was talking about the emergency alert, I didn't mean the falling down alert that they just announced. I meant the call, the SOS that was on there from last year. But and Florida Man in the chat room is reminding us something I didn't notice. The SE is gone. The iPhone SE was no longer available. That wasn't in the list. I just bought two last year for my kids. It's a great phone at a really practical price, but I guess they're hoping that you replace that with the...
And when I said the C, that's what I meant.
Oh, the C.
The SE. yeah, and it was a great phone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I think now they'll be stuck with a 7 if someone gets something new.
Yeah.
So, not too bad. And again, inside those payment plans, those numbers get really small.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, I don't know what the number will be in the payment plan, but the $449 is probably a payment plan in the range of $10 or $15 a month. So it's not bad.
I hate those payment plans.
it's hard to get out of it once you're in it. You're
right.
Just kind of like, it just sucks you in. Yeah.
And it's always more, and it's, oh yeah, those things. For many years, like I would go when I had very young kids, I'd go and they were screaming and I was confused and it was, you know, and I ended up buying, $500 iPhone for $5,000 or something. I don't know what I ended up paying, but it was something ridiculous. So right. Beware of the payment plan. So was there anything else that we, didn't mention, I guess, prices, $999 for the XS, $1099 for the XS Max, and then the XR was $749. And that's coming out later, after that's coming out October 19th is when you can order it for October 26th, and the XS's are September 14th. For September 21st.
And I do think people are expecting a super cycle on this round. There's a lot of people that didn't necessarily jump to the 10 last year. And so I think that we'll see. I think if you have a 10, I think it's a really hard sell to say you should buy the 10S. I will do it because I'm on a show that mm-hmm. covers it. And so I need to have it. But I think if I wasn't on a show, I probably wouldn't. Be upgrading. But I don't know if anybody should really upgrade every year. I think that's a pretty, unless you have the payment plan, it doesn't make any sense. You just take the phone in and replace it. So I think that is the, we'll see. But there are a lot of people that are kind of ready to buy a new phone. And I think that's what Apple's kind of betting on, and being able to give them an affordable place to make sure that they get the Face ID. Because a lot of the things that make the Face ID fun is making sure that everybody has it. When you think about the Memoji type solutions, you really want to make sure that as many people have that as possible, because then they're doing it back and forth. And so the cost effectiveness, I think, is important.
So the XR has the Memoji, like the Animoji, because yep. It has that.
So it's got the depth sensor. Depth sensor. So it'll be able to do the Memoji. It'll be able to be, augment all the augmented reality that's facial driven that people have been using. It will still be activated with that.
What else? So September 17th is iOS 12. That's coming out. Is that next Monday? That's Monday.
Yep.
That'll be out for iPhone, watchOS, and tvOS.
Yep. So all of those being released, and that's great. again, like everything else, update the first 0.1 is usually the best one to update to. So beta nails through a lot of those issues. But when you go into the wider, what we would call gamma testing, the .0 release is generally a gamma test, which means that you're all part of the puzzle of figuring out what they missed when millions of people hit it. So I think that's gotten a lot better since they had public betas, but I would still expect, generally we see a rapid succession of updates, 0.1, 0.2 within the first 60 days. And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw that again. So unless you really need that update, you might want to wait just a little bit and see how the dust settles.
Well, I think that we have covered everything and if we missed anything, you guys can cover it in what I like to call Max Break Weekly, iPhone Max Break Weekly, iPhone XS Max Break Weekly. I'm going to keep making that joke for years to come. So you guys will discuss this more, obviously. Alex, thank you so much for joining me. It's always fun to talk to you. We got two shows in one week.
Yeah. I'm
very excited.
Crazy.
Alex Lindsay of Pixel Core, and of course, Mac Break Weekly. Best place to follow him is Alex Lindsay on Twitter. You are Alex Lindsay on Twitter, right?
I am.
Then that is the best place to follow you. Yeah, and thank absolutely. You for joining us on the this Twit Live special, the Apple event. Thanks to our guests from Edmonton, Edmonton. That's in Canada, folks. And they are Android users, and I love that they joined us. And they have beautiful Android watches, and they sat through this whole thing. So it's amazing. And I want to thank also LastPass for sponsoring this TwitLive special. If you have iOS 12, get LastPass. It is great. I promise you it's easier to use. And if you want to subscribe to any of our shows, go to twit.tv and you can watch them. You can download. If you missed anything during this special, you can watch it all again or listen to it. And I am Megan Maroney, and you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Megan Maroney. Thanks for watching or listening. Thanks especially for doing both.